God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Luke 18. Jesus told them a parable that they ought always to pray and never give up, saying, "In a certain town there was a judge who did not fear God nor respect people. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, 'Give me justice.' For a while he was unwilling, but finally he said, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect people, yet because this woman keeps bothering me, I will give her justice. Otherwise, she will wear me out. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?'" Dear friends in Christ, Jesus told his disciples a parable about how they ought always to pray and never give up. He's speaking about persistent prayer. Nagging prayer, prayer that looks like a pesky widow coming to a crooked judge who wears him down till she gets justice. Now, the crooked judge was probably on the take. He'd do anything for a bribe. But this pesky widow keeps showing up in the courtroom demanding justice. And while the crooked judge couldn't care less about justice, he chooses to give it to the widow for no other reason than she's grinding him down with her persistent demands. And this, my friends, is the picture Jesus gives us for persistent prayer. The point of comparison is obviously from lesser to greater. Our Lord is not an unrighteous judge, but a righteous and good judge, whose judgments are pure and precise. Thus, if a crooked judge who doesn't care about God or people can be persuaded by the persistent pleas of a woman seeking justice, how much more will your God, the righteous judge, who is also loving and forgiving and saving, work justice for those who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long? No, of course not. He will give them justice, and quickly. You have Jesus' word on it. The key point is stubborn persistence in prayer. Now, persistent prayer flows from firm faith in Jesus as your Savior. Prayer is an exercise of faith. It is the breath of faith. Now, at times, our faith may be small faith, dim faith, weak faith, a flickering faith, even as tiny as a mustard seed faith. But where there is faith, there's prayer. No one prays to someone they don't believe in. This is why our text ends with a very big question. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? Why then do we lose heart or fail to pray? To a large degree, it's our impatience, and it's our smallness of faith because we don't feed our faith with what an awesome Savior and powerful Savior we have. And so, to a large degree, this is the opposite of stubborn persistence. We hate standing in long lines. We hate being stuck in traffic. We hate waiting for a movie to upload, being told to take a number, being told to sit down and wait your turn. Important people don't wait to be seated as a restaurant. We want what we want and when we want it. And if we don't get what we want when we want it, we'll take our business elsewhere. Which is sadly how a lot of people treat God. Maybe something terrible has happened, like a loved one has cancer. They throw out a couple of prayers to God to save them. They don't feed their faith with the Word of God. They have a small, tiny, weak, dim faith in God or Jesus. And then after a couple of prayers, God doesn't answer. Their loved one dies. And so they take their business elsewhere. And sadly, they'll die eternally, even though their loved one might be in heaven now through that death. Why do we lose heart or fail to pray? It's because of our small faith and impatience. Prayer is an exercise in stubborn, faithful persistence that refuses to let go of God. We are praying to a God for whom a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. This could take a while, folks. One of the characteristics of faith is patient endurance, stubborn persistence. I will not give up on my Savior. The woman in the parable keeps on coming back to the crooked judge because she has no place else to go, no one else to give her justice. And really, the same applies to us. There's only one real God. And the Bible says Jesus is the only mediator between us and God. You've got no place else to go if you want to get your prayers answered. No other God, no other religion, no other philosophy, above all, not you yourself, can answer or solve your problems. But because of our sin, we lose patience with faith. Because of the smallness of our faith, we give up quickly. If we don't get what we want when we want it, we go looking for some other more productive way of getting what we want, even though there is no more productive way, there's no other way of getting what we want. As a result, our prayers are often shallow, sporadic, anemic, weak, undisciplined. Sort of like going to the gym a couple of times and lifting weights for 20 minutes, and then you sort of say, well, this exercise is for the birds, nuts to this. I don't see any increase in my muscles. Faith-filled prayer is in the game for the long haul. It's a marathon, not a 100-yard dash. Still, our sinful self-centeredness and our demand for instant gratification and our smallness of faith leads to our prayers quickly running out of steam. What's the point? Nothing ever happens. God is testing and stretching and strengthening your faith like building up muscles in a gym, and it takes time. This reminds me of one of the saints. You may have never heard of her. Her name is Saint Monica. Monica was a woman of persistent prayer. Although she was brought up as a Christian, she married a pagan, always a bad choice, named Patricius. He had a violent temper and was a womanizer. And her marriage was far from happy and fulfilling. She was also hated by her mother-in-law, who literally grinded her down and made her life miserable. But Monica attended church daily, so notice she's feeding her faith, and prayer is the breath of faith. And each day she prayed persistently. Prayer flows from faith naturally, like good fruit from a good tree. She prayed persistently like the widow in our parable. And eventually, Monica won the favor of her mother-in-law and her husband became a Christian. Prayer does work. Monica had three children. One of them was named, here you go, you may have heard of this name, Augustine, who would become one of the greatest church fathers of Western Christianity. But Augustine was an unbeliever as a teenager. He shacked up with his girlfriend, had a child out of wedlock, at one time became an actual member of a false religion. So Monica dragged her wayward teenager to the local bishop to straighten the young man out, which is oftentimes what parents who haven't brought their children up the fear and nurture of the Lord oftentimes do when they can't handle their kids. They bring it to the pastor. You solve it. But what did the bishop say to Monica? Leave your son alone and simply pray for him. It cannot be that the son of a mother with such tears to God should be lost. And so she prayed for her son with a mother's tears before the Lord's altar for over 10 years. And now you get to the rest of the story. Augustine did become a Christian. And later he wrote, my mother Monica wept more for my spiritual death and spiritual birth than other mothers weep over the bodily death of a child. Jesus promises us, and will God not give justice to his chosen ones who cry out to them day and night? He will give them justice, and quickly. This is why we often pray for the same people in our church services week after week after week after week. And you may say, I'm getting bored, I'm getting bored, I'm getting bored. This is why we pray for them week after week. Persistent prayer. Sadly, we oftentimes treat God like a ATM or a divine vending machine. plug in a few quarters and dimes of faith, and we expect blessings to pop out of heaven like a bag of Doritos. Although we often treat God like a vending machine, he is not. And you know what happens when you lose patience with a vending machine. You kick them and you pound on them. You might even shake them, use a few choice expletives. Or you just give up and go find another vending machine that'll give you what you want. Although there is no other God to give you what you want, many people are led to believe there must be another God to give me what I want. And so they give up on Jesus and Christianity. But we have a God who does not smother smoldering wicks or give up on bruised reeds. He will answer even the prayers of those with baby faith, weak faith, anemic faith. But he encourages those, even of little faith, saying you ought always to pray and never give up. The life of prayer is sort of like Jacob wrestling with God in the Old Testament. You may remember that Jacob pinned God down. Now, yes, God allowed himself to be pinned down by Jacob, because God is infinitely more powerful than Jacob. But God wants us to pin him down in prayer. He wants us to hold him to the mat of his word. And Jacob pins God down and won't let him go until God blesses him. God even throws Jacob's hip out of joint. Jacob won't let him go. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. That is the prayer of life of faith. And isn't that a great description? God changes Jacob's name to Israel, which means one who wrestles with God. It actually should be seen as a compliment. It's a compliment if you would be known as one who wrestles with God. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me with this, God. And yes, like Jacob, we walk with a limp, especially when our prayers aren't answered, and we have doubts, and we walk by faith and not by sight. But that disjointed hip, or that those trials and that time it takes, is our strength. In other words, when we're weak, then we're in the best position for God to be strong. Jesus prayed. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that the cup of God's wrath would be poured on, that the cup of God's wrath poured out on him in the cross would be taken away if possible. But yet he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. He prayed for those who mocked him and killed him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed to the Father when the Father seemed absent. My God, why have you forsaken me? And he prayed to his daddy, even with his dying breath. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. In fact, talk about persistent prayer. Jesus prays for his whole church and for you and me individually. And notice how much he prays and how he prays. We're told in Hebrews 9, Jesus did not enter heaven with the blood of bulls and goats, but he entered heaven itself with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. So he's interceding before God on your behalf. God, this blood is their eternal redemption. You have to forgive them. You have to redeem them. And you have to be your Father, because Jesus is pinning God down to his promises, because you said you would, God. And Hebrews 7 tells us how persistent Jesus is. It says, and he, Jesus, always lives to intercede on our behalf. Jesus is the one who, in a much greater way than Jacob ever could, wrestled with God for us and our salvation. Jesus didn't just have his hip dislodged, but his whole body was dislodged and thrown out of joint as he was crucified on the cross, that we might be saved and have God as a heavenly Father. Jesus is the persistent widow in our parable who persistently, continually, always pleads to the Father with his own blood and the redemption he has obtained for our justification, for our being declared righteous. Now that he faced his Father's justice against our sin. And when you and I realize who Jesus is, our Savior, and all that Jesus has done to save us, not only is he crucified and faces God's wrath, he goes to hell and back for us, Not only has he reconciled us to his Father, gives us out of our grave alive, gives us his entire kingdom and our entire eternity back, and causes to gives us access to the Father and to his family. When we realize all this and that this is the sweetest deal we've ever received, it not only leads us to trust in Jesus as our Savior, but then out of that faith flows a life of persistent prayer to our Father, through his Son, by the Spirit, as our nation becomes increasingly ungodly and is rapidly apostatizing from the faith once handed down to her. And as we find that increasingly, there is oftentimes no such thing as justice or fair judges or equal justice under the law. We find ourselves in much the same situation as the widow and the unjust judge. So what in the world can we do? Jesus tells us in our text, you ought always to pray and never give up. Pray for the judiciary to be fair. Pray for the FBI to be fair. Pray for the Department of Justice to be fair. Pray to the Father through his Son by the Spirit, and do so persistently, that he would grant us his justice in our land and in our lives. Bother God with your prayers. Wrestle with God if necessary. Pin him down to his promises. Throw him to the mat of his word. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? I tell you, he will bring them justice, and right quickly. It's time for us who know Jesus is our Savior, who know God is our loving Father, who know that we are reconciled to God for the sake of Christ, that we cry out to God to bring about justice in our land and in our lives, to defend the way of the righteous, to hinder the plans of the evil, and to not give up in this prayer. Jacob called the place where he wrestled with God Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been spared. Jesus is our Peniel. In Jesus, we have seen God's face, and yet our lives have been spared. Yet even more than spared, through Jesus' blood, God makes his face, his smiling face, to shine upon you. He lifts up his countenance. That is, with you I'm well pleased. He lifts up his countenance upon you, and he gives you his peace, shalom, total restoration. Although God may delay in answering some of our prayers, he will never delay when it comes to praying for forgiveness, life, and salvation. In fact, he's already answered those prayers at the cross, and it is finished. Our big judgment day actually hit Christ instead of us, and our big judgment day is already behind us on Good Friday. The judgment day that's coming is just a little judgment day. It's just sort of the paperwork for those who are in Christ. And our being declared righteous in Jesus Christ, it's already finished. This is why the faithful pray. We pray because our God is so much more than a crooked judge, and you are so much more than a nuisance to him. You are his dearly loved child, and he is your dearly gracious Father. So go ahead and bother God with your prayers. Bother him all you want. Be persistent and pesky like the widow. Wrestle with God in your prayers like Jacob. Pin him down to his promises. Hold him to the mat of his word. Tell him you're not going to let him go until he blesses you. And never give up. For God loves to hear the voice of his children. He loves to grant our prayers, for we are already his reconciled to him in the death of Jesus.